Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. I know we've got several that are out to traveling, and there'll be probably some traveling again this week. Pray that you all have safe travels. Those that will be coming to us, I know we've got some family coming in, and maybe you do so also. So we hope that all things go well with that. It was September the 8th of 1860 that a sophomore at Northwestern University, by a man by the name of Edward Spencer, was walking along the shore of Lake Michigan. And he began to notice some debris washing up on the shore. And attached to some of that debris were people. Now, what Edward Spencer did not know at that time is that earlier that morning, about 2:30, a steamer by the name of the Lady Elgin had collided with another ship, began to sink. Lifeboats were deployed, but there wasn't enough, so people just started jumping into the frigid lake, trying to find something to make their way to shore. Well, Edward Spencer acted very quickly. He quickly swam out into the lake and helped a woman to shore. And then over the next 6 hours, he swam out again and again, bringing people to safety. 17 in all. Over 300 people would drown that morning in Lake Michigan. Years later, Edward Spencer was invited to a gathering of people who'd saved other folks' lives. And while he was there, he was asked this question. What do you remember most about that morning? Now, at that time, Edward Spencer was confined to a wheelchair. Because of the frigid conditions in the lake, his legs lost all feeling and he couldn't walk. And so here's this man sitting in a wheelchair, asked, what do you remember most about that morning? And here is what Edward Spencer, and there he is right there, here's what he remembered most that morning. He said, ever since that day, not one person ever came back to say thank you. Not one person. Human beings are not distinctly thankful people, are we? One of the first things we try to teach our children is what? To say thank you, isn't it? When we got Molly several years ago, and we brought her home, and we might give her something, she would say, shishe, which we interpret that to mean thank you. We hope it didn't say, die you dirty Yankee. But she had been taught to say thank you. And we're drawn to people who say thank you, aren't we? I'll tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves is not being thanked when I buy something from a store. You know, Walmart down in Hughtown was the absolute worst, I do believe. Go in there, you buy your stuff, go to the checkout, they check you through, they don't say anything. I wish they'd just say, you know, kiss my foot or something, but nothing. No thank you. No thank you whatsoever. We're drawn to people, I think, who say thank you. Those are powerful words, aren't they? We like to hear those words, don't we? And I hope we say those words to people maybe we're waiting on. But as much as we like to hear those words, our Lord likes to hear the words, thank you. Throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to give thanks to our God and Father. We are encouraged to say thank you to Him. You know, you start in the Psalms and look at all the Psalms that deal with thanksgiving and praise to God. Psalm chapter 100 and verse 4 says this, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praises. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Psalm 136 verse 1, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. And over again, I think there's 26 places in the book of Psalms we see this expression, give thanks. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 8, give thanks to the Lord. And so throughout the Old Testament we see these expressions about giving thanks to God. And then we come to the New Testament, and we open up the words of Paul. It is said that over 40 times in the works of Paul, he talks about thanksgiving or giving thanks. In the book of Colossians, there's 7 expressions of thanksgiving given to God. And the most famous, of course, is the one we probably know and probably the one we can quote. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Being thankful is not an option for Christians. It ought to be about who we are. And it ought to come easy when we thank our God and Father. Christ will illustrate this fact for us in a story that probably many of us know from heart. It's found in Luke chapter 17. So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17. The story of the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17. Christ is making His way to Jerusalem. to there he will be crucified. But as he is traveling, he comes across some folks here. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Luke is the only writer who mentions this instance here. Jesus comes across this mixed group of men here, these 10 people, these group of Jews and Samaritans, who had one thing in common, and that was leprosy. Now, this would have been unheard of for these people to be together as one, as we see here in this text, because the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. But leprosy brought these individuals together. In fact, Barclay's commentary, he says this. He says, in the common tragedy of their leprosy, they had forgotten they were Jews and Samaritans and remembered only that they were men in need. I think he's right. They forgot all the racial barriers. They forgot all the differences they had. They had one thing in common, and that one thing in common brought them together, and that's leprosy. Leprosy. I have never seen personally somebody who has been diagnosed as having leprosy. My understanding, however, that is still a disease that we have to deal with in certain places, especially in this world. There are over 200 cases in America alone each year that have been diagnosed as leprosy. Now, they used to have, we know, leprosy colonies. There was one down in Louisiana. There's one on an island in the Hawaiian Islands. But we probably don't know a lot about leprosy other than what we read about in the New Testament, or in the Bible as a whole, is there? Leprosy seemed to be the most feared disease of all when you look at the Bible. It was a disease that was characterized by discoloration of the skin. Patches of skin used on the face or the head, which this discoloration would start to spread rapidly over the rest of the body. There's a disintegration of the tissue begins to happen with the hands and feet and what have you. The nerve endings are destroyed. A person is in a lot of pain when he has something like this. And there's some illustrations of these people that are suffering from leprosy. A terrible disease. But not only do we have the physical nature of of leprosy, we have the mental nature of it also. If you were a leper, you could not live around your family. You had to be isolated from all others. You had to thus depend upon your family or friends or whomever to provide things for you, because no one's going to hire you. You can't work anywhere. And wherever you went, you had to stand afar off from people and cry, "Unclean, unclean," so no one could come in contact with you. Unless you couldn't go to the temple or the synagogue. You couldn't be around other people other than other lepers. Well, Jesus comes across 10 lepers. And if you notice in the text, they stood afar off and cried out, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, this is not the first time that Christ ever comes across some lepers. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning of his ministry in Mark chapter 1, he comes across a leper there. We know from Luke's account later on that he talks about the fact that the healing of lepers was one of the proofs that Jesus was in fact the Christ, the Messiah. And so Christ oftentimes would come across lepers, and on some occasion he would even touch the leper, which was unheard of. But not here. They cry out, "Master, have mercy on us." What does Jesus say? Jesus says, "You go down to Jerusalem and show yourselves to the priest." What? Go down and show yourself to the priest. Why do that? Well, you know, in your Old Testament, you know that in Leviticus chapter 14, there is an entire chapter that deals with a leper whose leprosy clears up. Now, how could a leprosy clear it up if leprosy could only be healed in some supernatural way? Well, you know, sometimes things are misdiagnosed. And sometimes things just kind of go away. You know, that happens sometimes with cancer. People have been diagnosed with cancer. And they might go back for another scan, and it's not there. It's just kind of went away. And so apparently that could have been the case with some lepers at times. It might have just went away, or might have been a misdiagnosis. Whatever the case, under the law of Moses, A leper was to go show himself to the priest. And you can read Leviticus chapter 14. There's an entire procedure that they go through, the priest, illustrative way in which things to show that this, in fact, this man again is cleansed, and thus he could rejoin society. Well, Jesus says, go yourself, show yourself to the priest. And as they go off, as instructed, something happens. Their skin becomes smooth again. Their fingers can feel, has sensation. The nerve endings are in their hands, feet are working. Their sight got better. Their voices became stronger. They could hear again. They were cleansed, healed, as they made their way to see the priest. Now go back and read with me again Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who turned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. 1 out of the 10 came back and thanked the Lord. And I think what Christ says to this man and what we find out from this text here tells us what it means to be thankful to our Lord. So let's talk about that. What does it mean? Well, I think first of all, when you talk about giving thanks, we need to understand that giving thanks is an action. Now, many commentators, and if you've got any commentators, commentaries at home, maybe you ought to look at that and see if they have maybe some heading like this. The 9 ungrateful lepers. Or something to that effect. The 9 ungrateful lepers. Maybe in your Bible you have a heading. The 9 ungrateful lepers. Let me ask you this. Do you think those 9 lepers were ungrateful? Now think about that. Do you think they were ungrateful? Do you think they told people that the next day, you know, I was walking along one day and some guy said, hey, go down and show yourself. And I did that and, hey, I'm healed. I'm cleansed. That he was ungrateful about that? I think those lepers spent the rest of their life telling about Jesus. I think they spent the rest of their life talking about the fact that this man, Jesus, out of all men, told us what to do and we did it and now we're cleansed. I think they were grateful. But what did they forget to do? They forgot to say thanks to God, didn't they? They forgot to go back and thank the Lord. You see, even if they were grateful, it appeared that they were ungrateful. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. You see, gratitude is more than just thanking it. It's saying it, showing it. It's telling somebody how grateful you are, the things in your mind, the things in your heart. It's illustrated in that. You know, that person at the checkout counter, he might be grateful for my business, but he never tells me, so I think he's ungrateful. I might appreciate my wife, but I never tell her. She might get the idea that I don't appreciate her. You see what I'm getting at? Gratitude, thankfulness is an action. We say that. We show that in some way. We tell our Lord how much we thank Him for the things we have. You know, Christ did not excuse the 9, did He? In fact, you look at the text here, He asks, well, where's the 9 at? Where's the others? He's grateful for the one who returned, but He wonders about the 9 who didn't. Because Jesus was looking for an action. He was looking for them to say thank you. And I believe our Lord wants to hear us say thank you. I believe He wants us to praise Him and thank Him for the things that He gives us and the bountiful blessings that He showers upon each and every one of us. We ought to be a people of thanksgiving. But how well do we express that? In our prayers, sometimes they become nothing more than a checklist of things that we want, of things we need. So-and-so's sick. Lord, will you please heal them? So-and-so's sad. Will you please cheer him up? And we can go through the checklist. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But what I've heard over my years as a Christian, sometimes that's all our prayer is, a public prayer. And I'm ashamed to say sometimes that's all my private prayer may be also. What I need, what I want. And never once do we thank our Lord for what He's given us. You know, what kind of relationship would you have with somebody if every time you see them, they want something from you? You know, before me and Martha were married, I lived in a house in Florence that was an old house. It was chopped up into three parts. So we had three apartments. And I lived in the middle part, and there was a guy behind and some people in the front there. But every time I saw the guy behind, I didn't know his name. He'd ask me for money. Hey, can I borrow a dollar? Can I borrow $5? Now, in 1980, $5 was $17 today, all right? So he's asking him to borrow $17 from me. Here I am, a college kid, broke, and he's asking for money. It got to the point that I tried to avoid him. Why? Because all he ever said to me is, hey, can I borrow something from you? I wonder sometimes as the Lord tries to avoid us, because the only reason he ever hears from us is when we want something. We never just stop to thank Him for what He's given us. He wants to hear that. He wants us to praise Him and thank Him. And I think that's illustrated in this story here in Luke chapter 17. So giving thanks is an action. It's also a sign of humility. You know, when you're saying thank you to somebody, you're acknowledging that there's somebody, you know, beyond you, that's somebody perhaps greater than you. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, we see the words remember. And what God was doing to the children of Israel is that He was wanting them to remember all the things that they had been blessed by Him. He wants them to remember that He took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. He wanted them to remember that He's bringing them to a land of plenty, and He's going to give them houses that they didn't build and vineyards and crops they didn't plant. He wanted them to remember over and over again the things that He had blessed them with. And what did they do instead? They couldn't humble themselves enough to thank Him for them. They couldn't say thank you the way the Lord wanted to be thanked. How blessed are we in this country? Our Lord has, you might say, brought us to a good land. And He's blessed us beyond measure. We have a place to live, an opportunity to make a living. You know, even in our bad economic times, they're better than 99% of the world's good times. 2005, when we went to China, many times we would see older folks mostly give us a thumbs up. In fact, we were on a bus one day, and a bus pulled up next to us, and there were some older folks there, and they were looking at us, and one lady was giving me two thumbs up. Now, I didn't know what that meant at first. Then they told us that means lucky baby. Lucky baby. You see, what they were saying, without saying in essence, is that baby is so lucky that they're getting out of this place. Lucky baby. Lucky children. Lucky Christians, aren't we? So blessed in the things that we have. And yet we fail to say thank you so often. And it shouldn't just be this time of the year. It's already been said about, no, not just this time of the year, but all times. To say thank you to our Lord for the things He's given us and things He continues to bless us with. And then also, giving thanks is a sign of the great grace that's been given to us. Now, you go back and look at the passage here in Luke chapter 17. I want you to notice that those lepers did not ask to be cleansed. Notice that. They didn't say, "Hey, Master, make us whole again. Make us well. Cleanse our bodies." That's not what they asked. You know what they asked? "Have what? Pity on us. Mercy," in the New King James or King James Version. What does it mean to have mercy? For someone to pity you, it means that you might not deserve it, but you're going to get it anyway. Begging to have mercy upon them. To the one who gives the ultimate mercy, the ultimate grace. It's been said that leprosy is really the picture of the human heart and the human condition in sin. As the leper was separated from society, sin separates us from our God. Isaiah chapter 59. What do we deserve? According to the Bible, we deserve to be cast in outer darkness. We deserve to suffer the consequences of our sin. But then Jesus comes along and says, "I can make you whole again. I can cleanse you." That divine intervention of Christ's death can take us in our sinful conditions and our leper conditions and make us whole again. Now, isn't that something to be thankful for? Isn't that something to praise our God and Father that He has made us whole again? Don't ever take that for granted, folks. Don't ever take for granted the blood that was shed on our behalf to the point that, really doesn't mean that much to me. Doesn't mean enough for me to say thank you. Don't ever be like that. Praise our God. Thank our God for the fact He has made us whole, given back our lives as He gave back the lives to these 10 lepers here. And understanding that, then we can truly be thankful, I hope, for the great grace that's bestowed upon us, as it was seen here in Luke chapter 17. Well, on our minds this week, of course, is a lot of things that have to do with probably the first Thanksgiving. But we need to know this, that it was September the 16th of 1620 that two ships left Plymouth, England, the Speedwell and the Mayflower, and their destination was the New World, America. The Speedwell had some difficulties and finally got to the point where they could not go on. So they transferred the 42 passengers, the pilgrims that were on that ship, over to the Mayflower. It was November the 19th. What's the day? Today's the 24th. So just a couple of days ago, in 1620, that they saw Cape Cod. But before they landed, they wrote what was called the Mayflower Compact. The heart of that compact was their belief in God and their willingness to allow His law to be the basis of moral law for their new settlement. And then they read a passage of Scripture. Let me show you that passage of Scripture. They read 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. "Praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercies endureth forever." Let that always be on our hearts and minds and our praise of our lips to our God who showed us so much mercy. Well, if you're outside the body of Christ this morning, we always offer an invitation for those who need to change their life. And trust me, you change it for the better by becoming a child of God and having a Father that you can approach, and a Father who loves you and cares for you, and a Father you ought to appreciate every day. We can help you in any way. Make that known to us now as we stand and sing this song.